Big show for you here today as Nate Tice joins to crown the king of this year's running back dead zone. Who's going to be this year's Rashad White, the guy who goes to the dead zone but actually gives you every week value, is a big home run of a pick. We go through a lot of names to finally crown the winner, and I bet you're going to be surprised by which offense we pick this player from. I mean, if that's not a sell, what isn't? All right, let's get into it. It's Thursday, June 27th. I'm Matt Harmon. Welcome to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Show. It is a hell of a day to talk ball, and join me to do just that is Nate Tice. Nate, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Currently in the middle of my last second-year quarterback article, which is conveniently also a lot of them are in the same division, so I have a lot of thoughts on that. Hint, hint, hint. Something may be coming soon. But anyways, I am doing very well. Middle of watching CJ Stroud, which is very enjoyable. And it can put anyone in a good mood. So very, very fun.
Oh, man. Well, listen, yeah. Anytime you get a chance to watch the 2023 Houston Texans in general, and especially their quarterback, that's a wonderful time. Well, I hope you're ready to just put aside all that good football and good players, because we're going to be talking about some questionable running backs here on today's show, because the topic today, as we continue our Flip the Script series, we are looking, and listen, if you're new to Flip the Script, quick disclaimer, we look at the biggest surprises from last season and we try to, you know, figure out who are going to be this year's version. A little tongue-in-cheek. I get it. It's not perfect. Not always perfect, but it's just a template here. Today's episode, we're focusing on who is going to be this year's Rashad White, aka the really undisputed king of the running back dead zone. Rashad White was going squarely in the running back dead zone, which we'll define more here in a little bit, kind of unpack what that means. But basically, it's just that area of the draft where you're looking at a lot of guys that are like, well, who else is there to touch the ball? Are they even really that talented? That whole thing.
The shoulder shrugs.
The shoulder shrugs. Typically, it's like pick 60 to 90 in your drafts. Just to me, that's the running back dead zone. For everybody's going to have like kind of a different view of it. But yeah, that's a perfect way to say it. The shoulder shrug backs. Well, Rashad White was definitely in that group, Nate, and yet he came out and finished as the running back 8 in 2023. Despite the fact that we talked about this when we did our, you know, run game pod not that long ago, the Bucks run game wasn't very good. And his like yards per carry wasn't very good, but he touched the ball a ton. He ended up being a big impact as a receiver. So before we jump into like who is going to be this year's version of it, when you look back at Rashad White, and I think you were pretty high on him as a prospect, but when you look back at his rookie season, which was kind of the under the hood stats sort of said like we need to stay away from him. And again, typically if you're going in that dead zone sort of with the well, who else is there? You know, people are going to talk about like who we're talking about, like Sean Tucker, you know, UDFA last year. God. Well, nothing happened. It ended up just being the Rashad White show. Why did that end up being a success, at least from, again, a statistical perspective?
Yeah, I don't even know if Rashad White's good. And like, that's the thing is I have him in basically every dynasty league and I was high on him. Like you said, I believe I had him like running back 4 in that class, maybe 3. I was pretty, pretty high on him. But going into that, I knew he was a 3-down back because he had a literal wide receiver background. And he was pretty good in pass protection because he was big. And I actually thought he picked it up pretty well right away. So I was like, this guy has the makings of someone that could stick. He tested really well. He's big, again, like I said, and he tested well as far as speed. Shows that a little bit. Then I watch him. And yeah, it's like he led me to a lot of victories in fantasy, even in Dynasty League last year. And people tweeted at me and go, hey, thank you so much for this. But it feels dirty. It's not a victory lap. It's a victory shuffle. It's a like a victory backwards walk. It's I don't know how else to go about it, I don't know if he is good. But he has traits, and I'll talk about that in a sec. But he does have stuff that makes him a workable running back that has value in some ways. It was just a perfect storm of situation and everything. And Canales' emphasis on pounding the rock no matter what, even if it gets 1 or 2 yards and volume and all that. But it's just he's an innings eater, which is kind of funny because I thought he'd be a different version maybe coming out of Arizona State.
Yeah, I lied. He was actually running back 7. It was Rashad White last year, which, listen, if you beat the running back dead zone with a guy like this, yeah, you're right. It's never a pure like victory lap. It's like, whew, you kind of like skated by the skin of your teeth, the whole thing. Because for every Rashad White, there's an Alexander Mattison, you know, which is just if you took Madison in the dead zone last year, that was as big of a L as you probably could have taken. And you knew
I'll get on Madison a little later in regards to a different thing. But yeah, I have some Madison thoughts.
Perfect. Yeah, because I think for me, when I'm looking at Rashad White and what made him different than some of the Alexander Madisons or the Miles Sanders last year, and like, look, I wish I had taken more of Rashad White than some of those two guys in certain situations. Typically, if you're going to pluck running backs out of this dead zone, what I think you want to look for, Nate, is one, I think you've got to have, there's got to be some level of the upside of the unknown to me, like a guy that is a little bit less proven, because the typical like guys that have really flamed out from this area in years past were like the Mike Davises, where he signs with the Falcons. It's like, oh, they've got nobody else. There can just always be somebody else. Like, oh, Miles Gaskin, he's the top running back for the Dolphins. If you go back, I can't remember what year this was. I think it was just a few seasons ago. But if you go back and look, and that was the main justification for taking like Miles Gaskin in like the 6th or 7th round in fantasy drafts. And it was like, well, there's nobody else on the depth chart. But like Miles Gaskin is like a nobody else. Like it could just,
yeah.
When if your first thing you're saying is there's nobody else, just remember there can always be somebody else. But I think that's the thing that made Rashad White different from some of those guys is, yeah, we saw him flash a little bit as a rookie, but there was still potentially maybe more to mine from his game. And I think that's the key thing when you're looking at this dead zone and you're kind of looking at like these vets who maybe their best days have passed them by, or these guys that, you know, maybe had like a random flash in the pan, but like they weren't totally like a proven player. I think those are the kind of guys you'd kind of want to target here.
Yeah. And you want someone that could take a workload. So it's like almost weight is almost as important as anything else. That's kind of like, you know, just the natural math of it. but also, can they play all three downs? If they're the other guy, a guy that comes out of nowhere, it's because they don't trust anybody else. And they're like, let's just keep RB1, whatever his name is. Let's just keep him in. Let's not make it different, make it worse if we can at least trust him. So again, that's why with Rashad White, it was, Sean Tucker wasn't kind of doing anything. I checked on the preseason guys. I think he had some of the lowest rates in the preseason. Mm-hmm. Everybody wanted him to happen. But as a coach, like as I could see a coaching staff, especially Canales coming in going, all right, we got Baker Mayfield who can do some things, but you know, it's Baker Mayfield. He could be very up and down. So we got to lift the floor a little bit. Okay. So that's a run first situation. Like QB iffiness is the situation that helps the running back, or at least as far as fantasy perspective. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, he'll get an uptick in that. But again, he can take screens. Like he does have qualities. Like he's a really good screen receiver. It's a very specific thing, but he is good at it. but that actually matches and we'll talk about maybe in 2024 too, matches some of the stuff that they do in the upcoming years with Liam Cohen. But he's big enough to take the large share of touches. He has a role. Even if they upgraded, they got Bucky Irving, but it's just like, even if they upgraded somewhere else, like Rashad White will always have some sort of role on a team. It's just that, because of the Bucs circumstances, Bucs ecosystem, it's a bigger role than maybe he should get. So it's kind of a thing. He has traits. He's kind of a jack of all trades, master of none kind of thing. Like he's like average to above average at everything, but maybe not great at anything. So it's kind of like he's underwhelming, but it's, you know, giving him touches isn't terrible, but it's not like, oh yeah, you're giving it to Bijan, you know, or you're giving it to Todd Gurley or something like that in his prime or anything. But I think even having said all that, 2024 actually is not like still like Rashad, like still might do some nice things because of just what the system is and what they upgrade and all that. And I think Bucky Irving is a nice complimentary back, but he's 190 pounds that you have to kind of take into consideration. And I have some Liam Cohn thoughts as well that might speak to Rashad White in 2024.
Yeah. Before I get your 2024.
Yeah, I don't want to dive in too much.
I just wanted to say one last thing that you bring up two good points just to when we start diving into these dead zone backs, two things to look for beyond just what I said, kind of an unproven player, like someone that you can maybe have some path to upside just because of the unknown part of it. One, it is the three down ability, and that weight is so important because like Rashad White is a bit of a weird player because he kind of plays like a scat back. It's the receiving kind of profile, but he's 6 foot, like 214 pounds. So there is that three down ability where you can leave him on the field. That's going to be critical when we talk about these guys in just a second. But yeah, I want to get you just real quick, your thoughts, 2024 expectations for Rashad White. Dave Canales moved on. Liam Cohen is the offensive coordinator there. There's familiarity with him and Baker Mayfield. I've been really sort of tripped up on this idea, Nate, just because I think that I like what Canales did. I'm generally high on Canales as an offensive coordinator, a play caller, and what he did with Tampa last year. But I also think the run game wasn't very good. I think Chris Godwin, there was some meat on the bone left there with his role, and it sounds like he's going back into a more favorable situation. So despite the fact I'm kind of high on Canales, I also think, like I said, meat left on the bone with this offense. But I don't really know what to think about Liam Cohen overall. So what are your kind of thoughts there?
He's very much Sean McVay disciple. Even when his time at Kentucky, he had two stints there calling plays. It was very much a pro style, as pro style can get these days in college. It was a lot of under center with Will Levis. It was a lot of pound the back with the running backs, a lot of play action, a lot of screens, a lot of jet motion, all these types of things. And also, like you talked about, Wendell Robinson ate in that offense.
Oh, man.
As a slot, mostly slot player. And so, yeah, so there is some qualities here and some carryover really from Canales is kind of a greatest hits type of guy because he's been in so many types of offenses. So it's kind of hard to go like, oh, he has some Shanahan stuff, but he also has a mixture of other things. That's why I think he is interesting. I agree with you. He's at least in the top half of the league as far as play callers. But when you look at Liam Cohen at Kentucky in 2021, Christopher Rodriguez was the main running back. He had 225 carries. The next highest back, I think, had 80.
Wow.
He had, it was 81. And then in 2023, when he went, in 2022, he went back to the Rams. They had their iffy year. Then he goes back to the Kentucky in 2023. The running back was Raymond Davis, who had 199 carries and 33 receptions. So 232 touches. The next highest running back had 28.
Mm.
And I really like Bucky Irving. But it's Bucky Irving plays how Rashad White should play, and Rashad White plays how Bucky Irving should play.
I like
it's
that.
It's kind of, yeah, like Bucky Irving is 190 pound. Him and Kyron Williams have some similar qualities. He plays bigger. He plays with vision, but he's a singles and doubles hitter. I wish he was 205. I would love him if he was 205, 208, but he's 190. So I think this is going to be a 70-30, 80-20 split still. But Bucky Irving is some solid touches, but I still think it's Rashad's thing because Liam Cohen, being a McVay guy, they like trotting out the same personnel every snap. Same personnel, running back, all the guys, so they give no personnel tendencies for defenses to tee off on them. So that's why I think it's still going to be Rashad White's show there in 2024. Even if I do like Bucky Irving, I thought that was a great draft pick, and it fits for what they like to do.
All right, let's move into talking about the running back dead zone and trying to find our king of the running back dead zone this year. How this goes, Nate and listener, if you're new, we're going to come up with three finalists, and then we're going to vote most to least likely to be this year's Rashad White. So the backs we're going to consider for that are, and again, I just looked at the early best ball ADP and with a dead zone back, I almost kind of want to say, you know it when you see it. Okay. You know when the dead zone has arrived. And for me, I think it's between picks 60 and 90 this year, because I think Kenneth Walker at running back 16, 59th overall player is kind of the last one where I don't think he's dead zone-y, but Kamara at running back 17, 60th overall, I think that's when we start to get to the dead zone. But before I talk about that, Nate, you wanted to talk about this group of like after the running back dead zone, 90th overall player. And I think it's important to bring up because I'm going to read off the names here just real quick. Javonte Williams, Tony Pollard, Raheem Mostert, Devin Singletary, Tajay Spears, Austin Eckler, Brian Robinson, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, Chase Brown, Jerome Ford, Gus Edwards, Nick Chubb, Zeke Elliott, and Zach Charbonnet. Those are the guys going from pick 90 to pick 130 overall. And I tell you what, Nate, like I look at that list and this is when you know the dead zone is dead zoning hard. There's a lot of dudes in this group that I think have maybe even better, but certainly equal like overall odds to hit and projections than some of the guys going right before them.
I agree. I don't know what, like, it's like the dart throws are more fun than the other ones. Like, I don't know what to describe that other group. Like, that's a bond. Like, that's like buying a bond. And this is like a, you know, high yield stock. These are penny stocks that it's like, okay, maybe this turns into a dollar. But yeah, for me, that group, like right away, I'm maybe it's just, again, this is a guy that's a high continuation from the draft process. Because I had him in pretty high esteem with Zach Charbonnet with the Seahawks. You mentioned Kenneth Walker as kind of the cutoff for the dead zone. I'd rather, you know, take on Charbonnet because I think his style will fit what this new Seahawks regime wants from the running back, which is more of a steady hand at the position. Another guy that has weight, another guy that also can play all three downs. He's pretty good in protection. I think they'll like that too. So within that Grubb offense, which that's the guy's name. It's not, I'm not dissing the Seahawks offense. But I finally realized when it came out of my mouth, I was like, yeah, that doesn't really sound nice. But yeah, with Charbonnet, I think that fits better because Kenneth Walker is so explosive. But to me, he's a change of pace back because he's so boom bust.
Yeah, it's true.
And I think this staff is going to go, well, we want to run the ball a little bit better. They invested in their offensive line. I still like Christian Haynes' pick. So I think maybe Charbonnet will kind of fit that as more of the steady hand that could play all three downs with Kenneth Walker getting sprinkled in. That's how I just picture it, especially with a new staff that's going to reevaluate these guys maybe a little differently. So that's a guy I'm taking some chances on. Another one. Talk about new staff, but also old staff for this guy is Gus Edwards.
Yeah.
I know he's battling a little injury right now, but they're going to pound the rock. So I'm taking the guy that can take 20 plus touches in certain game scripts. So at 124, yeah, I'd much rather have a chance at that. He's not a great catch, your receiver, but he's good on screens. And they're going to just run the ball a lot in first and second down. So I think he's just a volume guy that's going to get those yards.
Yeah.
So those are two definitely come to mind.
I love Gus Edwards as well. Even in like some dynasty leagues, I've sent like very late picks if I need like cheapy production this year, I want like
fishing a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I just want some Gus Edwards. And there are other backs in this group too. There's a few of them where like, okay, yeah, they're teammates here. Tony Pollard, Tajay Spears, Austin Ekeler, Brian Robinson. If one of those guys gets hurt or is just like clearly worse than the other player, that whoever the other guy is there is going to probably outkick most of these dead zone backs. Like Raheem Mostert, I just wrote about the Dolphins running backs today. Raheem Mostert's ADP, I know he's got injury concerns. I get that. But like you're 93rd overall, you're basically saying like, yeah, he's going to get hurt. He will get hurt. You're saying it as a certainty because otherwise, like, this assumes that he will not be like a regular contributor to the Dolphins offense at all, which to me makes zero sense.
They dial up plays for him in the red zone. So he's at least going to get touchdowns. Like that's the thing. He's at least going to get a good amount of touchdowns. So I totally get what you're saying here.
Yeah. Again, I wrote about this today. He led the league with 18 rushing touchdowns overall, 13 of which came inside the 10 yard line, despite ranking outside the top 18 running backs in red zone rushing share. And I get it. He's not going to run that pure on touchdowns again. But nobody's asking you to believe that when he's the 93rd player off the board. This is, again, basically asking you to believe that A, he will get hurt, or B, he's just going to get phased out of the offense. And maybe he gets hurt, but it's certainly not a certainty. Not as much. I mean, he's got an injury history, but he plays running back. Any of these dudes can get hurt. Unfortunately, that's just the reality of the game. And even Singletary, like, I'm not into taking Devin Singletary this year. I probably am not going to be all that, but like, He at 103rd overall profiles as a lot of these like, well, who else is there type of back. So that's what I think it makes the dead zone extremely interesting this year is that there are so many guys in that post dead zone kind of group where even some teammates like Trey Benson could be better than James Conner. Chase Brown, yes. I don't think he's going to be better than Zach Moss, but it's within the range of outcomes that these post dead zone backs are like, again, equal to or right in the same range as the dead zone, which makes our job, Nate, that much more important, serious, important business, trying to figure out the dead zone, getting it right this year.
Absolutely. No, man, shoot. Even just some of the guys you just touched on there for like, why not just take the guy in the dead zone over the guy that's on the main list? Like the Trey Benson one, and I know we're going to talk about James Conner, but Trey Benson I'd much rather have than James Conner, as much as I love James Conner.
Yeah.
Because I could just see, you know, he breaks down for a couple games every year, but you know, he's getting older as well. And so it's just, but I can see Trey Benson being a rocket ship if it just stars line because how high I am on that Cardinals run game. I know we've already talked about that.
We've already established that you're a Cardinals.
It's such a great point. very, very high on them. Very, very high on them. Others are catching up right now. But everyone should be very excited about the Cardinals' run game.
I fought really hard, Nate, in the Flip the Script episode where we talked about who's going to be this year's David Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. I fought pretty hard for Trey Benson and James Conner to potentially be like Montgomery and Gibbs, where they're both, because we like this run game so much, what if both of them just end up being viable, right? I think that's quite possible, but it was not to be. We went chalky. Jorge and producer Colin outvoted me. We went chalky with the Dolphins running backs, but alas. Okay. Let's take a quick break.
Not a bad answer, though.
Not a bad answer. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will run through the running back dead zone this year and try to find the Rashad White of this year, the king of the running back dead zone, after this. All right, Nate, let's get started here. And our first official running back dead zone candidate is indeed Alvin Kamara, running back 17, 61st overall. The way this is going to go, again, we're going to talk through this player, and then we're going to be quick about it. We're going to be efficient, and then we're going to decide if they are a finalist or not. I'll tell you what, Alvin Kamara, you look at just the reception numbers from last year, like, yeah, he's still got it. I hated every time they checked down to Alvin Kamara in that offense last year. So I'm very conflicted.
You didn't like
on how
the 14
feel.
Targets no. for like 40 yards. You didn't like those performances.
Oh, buddy, you are being generous. I think I'm going to look it up real quick, because I'm pretty sure it was actually
the 14 Texans game is the one that comes to mind. That's the one. He had some ridiculous stat line. That's the one that comes to mind. It was a Derek Carr special.
His first game back, 14 targets from a suspension. 14 targets, 33 receiving yards. Alvin
33?
Kamara. 33? A healthy 2.5 yards per reception.
Woo. Yeah, I'm lower on him. I love Alvin Kamara as a real football player, but as far as just that offensive ecosystem, it's the offensive line is just what has me so worried. I think it's just gonna be more of the same as far as his production, where it's like, you know, yes, some of those high reception games, he's gonna get targets on third down, they're gonna dial up plays for him, but I think it's just gonna be another frustrating kind of inefficient experience. So I'm a little lower on them, because I'm just so scared of that offensive line with the combination of Derek Carr. Like, that's just not a fun, there's gonna be a lot of third and eights and third and longs, a lot of check downs to Kamara. So we'll see kind of how that goes. So yeah, not as high.
Yeah, I'm not that high either. Like, I think he can have pretty much the same ish season that he did last year.
That's why
which, you know, from a per game perspective was really good. It was running back 5 from a per game perspective. But a lot of this like gross receiving work stuff, I do think it's taken out of this offense in particular. And, you know, I like Kendre Miller a little bit. Like, I think he could maybe mix into this rushing rotation. So I don't think it's just a given that what Kamara did per game last year, he's going to do over a full 17 this season. So I think he could be a slight win at running back 17, but maybe he's like RB 15 or something like that, which I don't think qualifies him for this particular exercise. Yeah. Even if, again, I think he could be a slight ADP beater.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly it. It's like, you're going to be fine with him, but it's just like, I don't know. I wouldn't want to build up my team around him. I just hilarious every time I hear the performances, because the PPR, he always did so well. It was just unbelievable. Like, when you're just going into those leagues, it was like, oh, Alvin Kamara, 55 yards again on 18 carry, you know, 21 carries, not really, but like 16 carries. And then it was just like, oh yeah, but he also scored like 22 points in fantasy because he just had all those little checkdowns. So I know that's one of those I have to like separate the fantasy stat lines with the real actual football aesthetics.
Well, a player who was really good in real football last year was Aaron Jones when he was on the field, especially down the stretch. However, he's on a new team here. Here's our next running back at running back 18, 66th overall player. New Minnesota Vikings running back Aaron Jones. Man, he's a tempting one for me to say as a I don't know if I want to say he can be a finalist for us, but I don't hate picking Aaron Jones. But at the same time, he's a guy that he's in the wrong sort of era for running back play in terms of his career arc, where he is. And obviously there are durability concerns. You can pretty easily do that. Well, who else is there? They signed him. So again, when you start making these off the field arguments, like, well, they signed him to this contract, and that's when you start to get into a little bit of trouble there. But I don't know, Aaron Jones, Vikings offense, Nate, how do we feel about this one?
I'm it's like he's a spike week guy. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's the health. I mean, that's the number one thing. It's like, if you understand that there's a lot of risk with the health, because like you said, when he came back on the field last year, the Packers offense was just so much better, just so much more open up. So he still has the juice, but the issue was he was not on the field until the end of the year. So as long as you understand those expectations, if you take him and make sure you get Ty Chandler or whoever else they're going to roll out there, I'm okay with it, because they're also going to run the ball a lot. Kevin O'Connell likes to run the ball. Sam Darnold and or J.J. McCarthy are going to be the starting quarterbacks. So, okay, are you going to have Sam Darnold? Well, you do have Justin Jefferson. So you do have some like passing options, but it's just, I think that's going to be more of a high down the field, low attempts kind of passing game off play action, which is right up their alley with a stronger run game. So I think that run game is going to be emphasized no matter what. I mean, even what they were doing last year was to get better at the run looks they were getting because of Justin Jefferson. So I don't think that's going to change. They get an explosive element that they haven't had. The offensive line is pretty solid. If you can't tell, I'm actually talking myself into this, but it's just more the understanding that it's just his health. And then, so this is a guy, I would hope you already have two strong backs on your team. Take him as maybe like, oh my God, we can get this guy when he's healthy on the field for 6-8 weeks in fantasy. It would be really, really good. So I don't know where to value that. Is that like here in the dead zone? Is that later? Is that higher? But that's one where, but depending on my team makeup, if I like really want to just take a chance and really build out a potential awesome running back stable, I would like that with him. So just understand that risk.
Yeah, I think he just is like appropriately priced here, appropriately ranked here. And I don't think there's, again, he's a similar guy that if all things go well for Aaron Jones, like he stays, if he stays healthy, all that stuff, he has like, let's just call it like 900 yards and 6 touchdowns. I think that would probably be a good season. He would maybe then in that case be, like Isaiah Pacheco last year, who had 935 yards and 7 touchdowns, and he caught 44 passes and he was running back 16. Like, I think that's probably the type of season. And I think 7 touchdowns would be a real nice mark for old Aaron Jones at this point in his career in an offense that's either going to be captained by Sam Darnold or a rookie quarterback. So I think, again, he's probably not a guy that can really way out kick this, but can go in the dead zone and maybe be viable. But like, there are real risks here that the rug just gets pulled out from under you, that like 3 weeks in the season, he's injured again. This offense maybe is a little bit stuck in the mud because it's a transition year. And maybe they even work in Ty Chandler because they start thinking about the future. So there's a lot of pitfalls for him, even if he is a really good player who's been good for a long time.
Yep. Totally agree with that. That's exactly how I see it.
This next running back, I have a feeling we're going to have an interesting conversation about here. Ramondre Stevenson, running back 19, 69th overall. Okay, so just think about the guys we've talked about so far. Kamara, Aaron Jones, these guys that are the 2017 draft class, right? Like they've been in the league for a minute. They're definitely not in the prime of their career. Stevenson, on the other hand, is number one, he was just given a big extension, which kind of took me off. That was one of those, Nate, where like,
it was big.
Yeah, well, number one is a big number, and it wasn't on my radar. Like, oh, the Patriots are really going to be keen on extending Ramondre Stevenson. Where like, I was out at the grill and just like my phone blows up, like, whoa, am I reading that thing right? One of those situations the other night. But 4 years, $36 million deal. So pretty nice little price for Ramondre Stevenson. But still, like, he's 26 years old. He's kind of in that prime-ish area of the running back position. He's not coming off a bad season, but he was much better, obviously, the year before that when he went over 1,000 yards, caught 69 passes. And I don't know, man. I think Stevenson he kind of sticks out in this group to me.
I think he's the easy, if we had like stack all the guys we're going to talk about, like he would be the highest on this one. I actually am surprised he was even in this group, because just even talking about the Rashad White check marks, or what even just what you want to look at in fantasy running backs, this is Stevenson. It's size. He can play three downs. He can catch the ball a little bit. He's good on screens and stuff. He's good in protection. So this guy's going to get volume. And then you get into just looking at the Patriots makeup. It's either going to be Jacoby Brissett or Drake May. And so either situation there, that is going to be a run heavy offense. This is an offense that's going to be run, 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 play action, downfield stuff. So I think he's going to get volume. Antonio Gibson's kind of shown he's a complementary piece as opposed to a guy that takes all the load. He can play three downs too, because he can catch the ball as well. But it's I think now we know what his role is. But again, he's going to be the two. He's not the guy that got paid a bunch of money. Stevenson did. Gibson got paid, what, a one-year deal for kind of like a rental deal, like a one-year show me deal. And then Stevenson got the big money. So I know kind of where they're going to, you know, put their eggs in. So I just looking at the team, the offensive line, yes, is kind of, but they're trying to invest in it. I think they're going to try and make it safe where they do run it. So it's going to be a lot of four-yard gains, but it's volume. So yeah, I just think ecosystem, his size, his skill set, I think he's a good back. I'm not saying all world back, but I just think it's all the makings of a person that can highly outperform their ADP right now.
Yeah, Gibson did randomly get a 3-year, but only $11 million deal. So, you know, it's just like
complimentary
running back type money. And then, yeah, they give Stevenson a pretty big commitment there. I think to probably be the centerpiece of that offense. Look, Alex Van Pelt is kind of an unknown. This whole Patriots situation is kind of an unknown because we've never seen Van Pelt call plays. He's been a part of some good offense. And so it's not easy to just like map what happened in Cleveland onto Van Pelt, you know, because he's a guy that has kind of been everywhere a little bit. But if they were to take something out of that Cleveland offense, I can see, you know, zone run game, like, you know, kind of really at you, sort of like, but bend you to the outside a little, but also like, hey, big shots on play action with Drake May. That would make a lot of sense if they, you know, almost like the Joe Flacco approach. They just map onto Drake May.
Seriously,
I can see that. And I can see Stevenson succeeding in that type of offense. But I think the biggest hang up is just like, okay, typically fantasy running backs, we want to associate them with good or maybe overperforming offenses. Even like the Bucks last year, they weren't one of the best offenses in the league, but they were certainly better than expectations, and that helped Rashad White be a viable fantasy back. I mean, you don't score 6 touchdowns, 9 total touchdowns if your offense totally stinks at the running back position. So can the Patriots offense be a slightly overperforming unit akin to last year's Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Yeah, I actually do think they can. I'm high on Drake May, so that also helps. But Jacoby Brissett,
I'm asking the right guy here.
I also think he's a strong quarterback as well. I'm still surprised he can't just stick as that kind of 18th best quarterback, because I think that's what he is, like, legitimately. But I think this offense, because I think they have the self-awareness of what they are. So I don't think they're going to go out there and go like, we're going to be a top 5 offense this year. They're like, no, we're going to have to play it safe. We're going to have to be creative a little bit. I think they got some interesting coaches there. I'm not going, they're going to set the world on fire, but I think it's a strong baseline is a good way to put it. And also just like, even when Nick Chubb went down last year, offensive line was getting banged up with the Browns, they still kind of stuck to their formula of just pound, 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 pound. Like, cause that's what they were. I think this team, look at the receivers. Those receivers are all going to block their asses off. So you got receivers that are going to help out. So yeah, I just think it's a high baseline offense. And I think May will end up taking over earlier than people expect. When he takes in, he's going to bring the explosiveness with his ability with his legs and a strong arm down the field. But I think what they're going to go for is just a strong baseline just to make it, you know, they're building from scratch, this entire team. So I think that's exactly what they're going to, they have the awareness to kind of just do that anyway. So it's not maybe going to be the most creative offense, maybe not the one where we're like, holy crap, sharing clips all the time. But I think it's going to be a sound, solid offense, and just much like the Bucks were last year, even if sometimes the results weren't there.
And the fact that the defense should probably still be a good unit, that's going to keep them in game scripts where maybe they're not, you know, going to be the prettiest offense to watch. It's going to be ugly for sure. But
a lot of fist fights, but it's
run heavy game scripts. That's good for the running game. And the fact that Gibson's there, like Stevenson even said at the end of that 22 season that he was worn down, you know, from having to take like all of the touches. So just having Gibson in there to give him a breather, I think can be a pretty good thing. So it sounds like to me, Nate, we both want to move Stevenson to the finalist bracket. I'm okay with that. If you are, he has probably got to be one of the three finalists right now. But let's move to the next guy here. Yes. David Montgomery, running back 20, 75th overall player. This is a little bit similar to what I said with the Raheem Mostert thing. We're like, what is David Montgomery doing all the way down here at the 75th overall pick?
Yeah.
I don't know the answer to that one.
I was wondering that. I was like, did I miss something? Did he get hurt this offseason? I think it's gonna be the same thing, like as last year. I mean, like, just I don't know. That's how I picture the workload. That's how I picture he's the bruiser in this offense, what they want. And then Gibbs, once they're all, you know, beaten down, he comes in, he's the explosive element. He did improve, but you know, if you watch all their short yardage plays, all their low red zone plays at the goal line, it's Montgomery. That's the role in this offense. Jamal Williams, when he was there, that's the role in this offense. I don't think they're going to change it up. Why change up a good thing? So I don't know. He was my favorite last year because I tried some no running back builds just for fun.
Yeah,
and same. I kind of just kept sniping him, and it was great. It was really, really great. But it's, yeah, I don't know. I kind of feel the same exact way about him this year as I did last year.
And I think he was either a dead zone back last year or a post dead zone back in certain ways.
Just a little lower almost. Yeah.
So yeah, for some of the teams where I was dumb enough to take Miles Sanders, at least I was smart enough to take, you know, David Montgomery a couple rounds later. But it's funny because he's a little bit, again, similar to Raheem Mostert, where I don't think you have to hate the fact that Achane is going at running back 20 to like the fact that Mostert is going, you know, at the damn 90th overall pick or whatever. Right. And same thing with Gibbs. Like, yeah, it's aggressive. He's a first round pick in early best ball drafts. But I get it because of just the archetype of running back he is. Really good for fantasy. That offense is explosive. The run game is explosive. But I think, again, this ADP at 75 overall is saying like Montgomery's going to cede a lot of work to Gibbs. Yeah. Whereas I think it's going to, like you said, going to look pretty similar next year. If anything, similar to Achane, I think we just want Gibbs to maybe be a little more maximized as a receiver. And I feel kind of the same way about Achane too. Like I want him, if he's going to get more touches at that size, like he probably should be a little bit more of an asset in the pass game. And I think that's the same for Gibbs. Although Gibbs, I think, is a better runner. Even though he's maybe not the same wildly explosive threat, he's better like just overall sound runner than Achane. So I really like Montgomery here. I don't know if we want to make him one of our finalists, but I just think he's a great pick here, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do too. I'm probably gonna be targeting him again this year. He never dipped below 23 snaps. Or I should still go by percentage here. Like he was playing half the snaps no matter what.
Yeah.
Like even in the playoffs, even when Gibbs was emergent. So like that's going to be the workload. I think what we saw at the end of the season when Gibbs kind of was able to do some more protection stuff, do some of the more the dirty work stuff. It was 54%, 56%, 43% for Montgomery in the playoffs. That's kind of what I feel about this year. So I think we're going to see a lot of angry tweets on Twitter from fantasy people in the first couple months. Ben Johnson doesn't know what he's doing.
Suck it up.
I think it's going to be more of the same, but more of the same as the end of the year. But that means two viable running backs as opposed to just Gibbs only. Montgomery's an afterthought.
Right. I think the same thing with Mostert, where people are going to say, well, yeah, Dave Montgomery started up the first four games of last year, 88 carries, 371 yards and 6 touchdowns. He's not going to do that again. Yeah. No. That's why we know that. That's not a viable argument.
That's not what we're chasing.
That's not what we're chasing here at 75 overall. No. But yeah, well, let's keep him on our short list because I don't know if he, again, totally fits the theme of the exercise, but a great pick that I think should be going a little bit higher. Like, I think I'd rather have Dave Montgomery than both Alvin Kamara and Aaron Jones. Let's move to this next player here. And I'm also going to push his teammate up to this discussion just because they're both going in the dead zone. Najee Harris, running back 21 running back 21, 72nd overall player. But Jalen Warren is also going running back 27, 88th overall player. Nate, again, in the Montgomery, who's going to be this year's Montgomery Gibbs episode, my number one pick was actually these two guys. I think they're going to be tough for this exercise because can one of them truly be the king or can they both be like crown princes, of the running back dead zone? Maybe. But I know we're both very high on the Steelers run game overall.
Yep. And I think they know what they are. And I don't think we have to ever go like, wow, they're throwing the ball too much. Whoa, what are they doing? It's like, no, I think there's going to be volume every single week in this offense. I do think Warren is a better player than Najee Harris. I don't know. I think Arthur Smith, and I'm really picturing this and maybe just because what he was doing most recently, I think this might be that Bijan Algier kind of split. Where it's, oh yeah, Najee Harris is the more high, you know, the highly drafted guy pedigree wise and all those things, but it ends up being almost 60-40, you know, 55-45, you know. So Montgomery Gibbs, again, is another good comparison, but that's how I'm picturing it. But that's almost two flex candidates as opposed to a running back one or two. That's how I picture these guys, where I think you're happy with them as your flex guy, but you're like, oh, I drafted Najee Harris to be my running back two or even running back one. And oh my God, look where I'm getting out of them. I think that that's how the workload's going to go. They're going to pound the rock though. And I think I'm excited about this offense just because of that, fantasy and real life wise.
Yeah, they could both end up being like top 25 backs and like both be useful. I think that's, but to ask them, but honestly, last year, Warren was running back 25 and Harris was running back 20. And I think maybe we could see them, you know, maybe even flip. I think maybe Harris could be a slight step back and Warren could be a slight step forward. But yeah, I don't really want to move either to my finalists here because I think both of them are going to be good.
I highlighted it and then I knew you were, and then we were saying we're talking about all of them. So I was like, okay, good. Cause I just wanted to talk about this situation because it fascinates me. I want to nail it, but this is where I'm at right now because I think there is potential here. Of course, if one guy gets hurt, but just saying even before that, I this could be just a good backfield. I might be even underselling it just because it's just what they get. But I'm just saying that I'm going to try and, you know, buy a little bit of this backfield some way, shape or form and kind of redraft leagues.
Yeah. I haven't done very many drafts. Cause like I sort of have a life. I don't like totally have a life.
I got another month. That's August. That's August for me. Before I even talk
August
about
is
drafts.
2 months from now, Nate, I know we're at the 26th, okay. But all of these tweets about like, 11 more Sundays till red zone. I'm like, geez, God almighty. Give it a sec. Do not speed me through July at least. So,
one breath.
I love football. I love football. I'm ready for football.
Season. I do too.
But August is a busy month too. We both like these backs. I don't think they fit for this exercise necessarily, but that's why I wanted to highlight them in the Gibbs Montgomery thing because I think they can both be good. Although this is the Steelers offense, not the Lions offense, the Russell Wilson offense, the Arthur Smith offense, not the Ben Johnson, you know, so maybe a Diet Coke.
It's a Diet Coke version.
Perfect way of saying it. Okay. Next guy up here, DeAndre Swift. I'm very curious to pick your brain on this running back 22, 78th overall. Nate, you're going to hear a lot of people say, well, look what they paid him. These other guys at the depth chart, are they really that good? I mean, they're rookie quarterback. They're going to rely on the ground game. He's going to be a check down option. That feels a lot like Miles Sanders to me. So I'm curious. What are your thoughts about Swift, the Bears run game as it fits into this offense overall?
I'm of course excited to watch this Bears offense, but I've never been a fan of DeAndre Swift. I just, cause he's super explosive and I get all those things. But as far as the running back things, vision, tempoing his runs, kind of taking the easy yards, he's below average. I'll put it that way. He's not up to standards. So he's always been a frustrating back. Miles Sanders is actually cut from the same cloth. It's kind of funny, these two kind of just keep getting kind of paired together as far as discussion wise, teams wise and everything. So I think it's going to be more of the same. Oh, people chase the dragon with him. They chase the big plays and they're like, oh wow, look at that. I can see coaches and personnel guys doing that. Oh, we'll coach him up. He'll run between the tackles for us. Hasn't done it for five coaches before him, but he'll do it for us. Hasn't done it for Jeff Stoutland, but he'll do it for us. You know, all those things.
It could work for us.
Yes, exactly. And running backs to me too, it's one of these that they kind of are what they are. Like, you know, Pacheco's a rarity because he also got into a great system. I mean, Pacheco still is a very inefficient back in my eyes, but it's just, you know, they are what they are. These guys usually were the best players at 12 and they probably carried the same skill sets now. But like when I watch Swift, it's like, that's what he is. The guy I'm most interested in is Roshon Johnson. And the guy that I think has three down ability, has pass protection, receiving, just a steady Eddie run game guy. I like him the most of this backfield. That's why I was so stunned. Cause I thought this was going to be a Khalil Herbert Johnson split. Maybe get another guy, like another body in there. A Travis Homer is a perfect example. But I don't know. Swift just feels weird to me. I think he's a frustrating back. I usually he's a stay away from me almost every year. So that's kind of how I still feel about him. Even if I do like what the Bears offense is doing, obviously Caleb Williams, the receivers, Shane Waldron, I think is a solid play caller. I think most of the stuff that happened in Seattle is more offensive line woes. You know, the interior of this offensive line is okay, but I do like the tackles a lot. So it's a mixed bag. Even if I do like this team overall and everything, love their defense, but I just think he's a frustrating player. And I think, again, he'll be a frustrating buy if you buy him too high.
That's kind of where I'm at too, that I really would love to invest in a running back in this offense, but I think that Johnson and Herbert to a degree are good enough to like still kind of nip at the heels of whoever is the top back here. And I think we do this a lot with the contract stuff. Like I said, the Miles Sanders thing, well, they paid him all that. Like he's going to have every opportunity to be the lead back. And then he's just still Miles Sanders or he's still just DeAndre Swift. And like, you need still to get other backs involved. So he's not a guy that I think we wave on to our finalists here, but this next player I think is a good one to discuss. Zamir White, running back 23, 81st overall. if to spin it back to the very beginning of this, and we're talking about the guys who come out of the dead zone, they're sort of these like upside of the unknown players. And we saw a little bit of Zamir White last year, but I still would say he is certainly much more of an upside of the unknown player than like the Madisons or the Miles Sanders or the DeAndre Swifts, these guys that are typically in the dead zone. So Nate, when you watch Zamir White from last year, what do you see?
He is the one that feels even the most like Rashad White and Zamir White, just watching them as far as stylistically. Not the sexiest runner in the world. He is a classic steady Eddie running back, but he's in a situation where that's ideal. He's not an otherworldly talent, but he's solid. He is a true get on base guy. He's going to get what's blocked for, can break a couple tackles, but he can catch the ball. He can eat touches. I don't think they have another back that like you want to point at and say, yeah, that guy's getting touches too. Alexander Mittison is on this roster as well. Like he is still there, but I think Dylan Law would be the guy that would be the complimentary back for this skill set because he's more of the traditional scat back. But White had 26 touches between weeks 1 through 14 and then more than 20 touches every week, 15 through 18, which is ridiculous. And I watched it. He looked better than Jacobs did. And I like Josh Jacobs. But I watched it. He just had a little bit more to him, a little bit more wiggle. Luke Getsy, the offensive coordinator, he'll run the ball. He's just coming from Chicago. Maybe he just had to there, but he's going to run the ball. And some of the personnel makes up for that. The offensive line's not great, obviously, but neither are the quarterbacks. But again, quarterback situation iffiness leads to probably more touches for the running back. So, yeah, this is just a guy that checks all the baselines. Another guy that's, you know, jack of all trades, not a master of none, has size, can run between the tackles, can take the, he's an innings eater in a situation in an offense that needs an innings eater. So even if I like real life football, I'm like, yeah, he's solid. Fantasy wise, this is a good situation where he could easily outplay this just because of the situation.
The stats back up what you're saying about he was better than Jacobs last year. You look at success rate on man gap runs, 54.9% for Zamir White, 49% for Josh Jacobs. Zone concept, 48.1% for Zamir White, 41.9% for Josh Jacobs. So, yeah, I mean, he was good when he got the ball last year. I think there was clearly a comfort, like, hey, we can let Josh Jacobs walk and, you know, just turn this thing over to Zamir White as the head coach, Antonio Pierce. Like, we know he wants to run the ball. So I like this one. I'm pretty comfortable with moving him into the finalist bracket too, just because, again, he stands out from all these, like, yeah, we've seen DeAndre Swift before, like Aaron Jones, Alvin right. Kamara, not on the right side of their careers. I think the next guy we're going to talk about here too, James Conner, like we kind of covered him, running back 24, 84th overall. I think there's a world where both these backs are successful in Arizona. Yep. But just because Benson is there now, I'm okay with James Conner. I'm okay with drafting him, but I just don't think he's going to be the king of the running back dead zone when there's a rookie here who's going who could outkick him.
Yeah. And again, James Conner is such a hard runner. He might miss games and like Benson, it might go become the Benson show with that. I want to buy into the Cardinals offense every way possible. Dynasty, redraft leagues, best ball, everything. I want to try and find ways to get it. But sicko. They asked me what training camps I wanted to go visit, and my number one pick was Arizona. It's just like, come on. Yeah. No one else.
They gotta bring back the drug test for the new hires, I guess. They posted the Fantasy Handle posted a graphic of me saying that I'm with you on this, so I'm calling you a sicko lovingly. The Cardinals were this year's Texans in their flip the script, like team that's going to surprise, maybe not win their division, but surprising offense. Mm-hmm. I got obliterated. People told me I was the biggest idiot on player. Catch up.
They're going to be, I don't know if make the playoff. Like if I'm predicting the Cardinals, they're like a frisky 8-9 team.
Oh yeah.
That's how I pictured them. Maybe they look into 9-8, but they're going to be like they're going to be one of those games where you watch every week and they're just like, oh, the Cardinals upset so-and-so this week. Wow. Oh, the Cardinals. Okay. But yeah, excited about the Cardinals. Excited about the Cardinals run game.
Like I said, on social media when I got destroyed for that, I would love to know what all those big brainiacs thought about the Texans 365 days ago. You know, let's just remember that. It's football, people. Jones. Crazy stuff is going to happen. Yeah. Okay, two more backs to cover here before we vote on our finalists. Zach Moss, Cincinnati Bengals, running back 25, 85th overall. I will say, you know, we talked about Chase Brown there for a second as a post-dead zone guy. Nate, I'm just curious how you think this rotation can split out, because there is a part of me that thinks Zach Moss was good with the Colts last year. This is a good. Like, we want to invest in this offensive environment. There's an old me that would have been very excited about Zach Moss. But again, I learned my lesson a little bit with some of these dead zone backs in the past. And Moss, as much as I like him, does fit that archetype. So how do you expect this rotation to kind of play out?
I don't know. It's truly one that I'm kind of staying away from, not because I don't think it's a good offense, and not they run the ball, and that's what they've found, that's what helps out their offense so much, is because they get so many soft coverages. So I know there's going to be volume in the run game, but I don't know how they split it up. It seemed to me even last year that they started chopping it up. Mixon did improve in some of the little things too, but Mixon is just like a guy worthy of getting 20 touches,
right?
You know, 15 plus touches. Zach Moss, he did, like you said, like really actually looked pretty good with the Colts. Sometimes I was like, who is that?
Yeah, guy? I know.
Oh, Zach Moss. God, you got a little juice to you. And so, but that's the thing, is Zach Moss to me is not Joe Mixon. It's just that, is he worthy, quote unquote, of 15 plus touches? There's going to be games that maybe that they just want to pound it. But they have other guys that are interesting in this backfield. So yes. I could see them going like, well, 10 for Zach, you know, 8 for Chase. You know, make sure they rotate them a bunch, you know, make sure. And that's why I'm kind of just, I don't know how to buy into this.
I think that's actually the better way to ask the question, is what do you think of Chase Brown? Do you think Chase Brown is a guy who is what he did last year, which, yeah, there were some big plays, but a lot of it was screens. A lot of it was kind of like some more explosive type gimmicky things. Or is he a guy who could develop into a player who could just outright be the RB1 on this team? Because that, if that is true, that makes Zach Moss a very dangerous pick at 25 in terms of running backs.
I think Chase Brown is a boom bust design touches kind of guy.
Okay.
He's going to get some, like, I think he's worthy of getting, I gotta stop saying worthy. Like, these guys, these NFL professional football players are not worthy of toting the football, but you know, how the offense wants to use him,
sure.
I guess the usage of him. I think that's how I picture him. Maybe he does improve, maybe some of the little thing stuff, but I view him as more of a 6 to 8 touch guy. You're hoping for home runs, mm-hmm. and hoping for, you know, big explosive plays with them, pass game or run game. But maybe he surprises me. I was trying to look up his weight, because he is big. That was the thing that always surprised me with him. That's why I want to double check, because I remember every time I watch him, like, obviously you can tell he's pretty short. And I'm like, how much does this guy weigh? 202 or like two? And he's 215 listed. But I think to him, again, he's a complimentary back. And again, but even if he improves on that, with Moss's skill set, Moss is a true inning eater, physical running back that I think even if Brown just outplays that, it's still going to be a 50-50 split, or 55-45 or 60-40, as opposed to like Brown's taking it over. He's getting 80-20, all that things. I still think the upside of him is still 50-50.
Yeah. And like I said, though, 50-50, if that becomes the split, that's going to be tough for Zach Moss to be like a consistent every week starter. So I like Zach Moss, but I don't think he's a guy that I want to consider as a finalist here. I think he's again, very similar to James Conner, like an okay sort of pick here. But
if they start hard dropping, it's like 110 range, and it's like, oh
yeah,
Moss or Conner's, oh, you're snatch them up. It's like that. But it's like, I'm not going out of my way to like maybe overbuy on either of them.
Because this is the thing too, with these running backs, and I know this is best ball, so like, you know, these are the sickos of the sickos. All the wide receivers go, you know, a lot higher than they probably are going to go in normal leagues. But there's a lot of appealing running back, or excuse me, receiver picks here. Like, if like, for example, Zach Moss goes right around like Roma Dunze and like Ladd McConkey and these guys, and like if those guys hit, they're gonna really make a big deal, like back half of the year. Especially rookie Ladd receivers, yeah, they really make a difference for your fantasy team. Whereas like JSN goes in the same range. If he really hits this year, he's gonna make a bigger difference maybe than some of these running backs, and that's why the dead zone can be a little tricky. Okay, final player to discuss before we vote on our finalists here: Jonathan Brooks, Carolina Panthers running back 26, 89th overall player. He's right at the tail end of the dead zone, or at least what I'm considering dead zone. If you guys are listening and you think I'm just wrong about this, he's a post dead zone back. Don't tweet at me, but okay, your opinion has been heard. It's fine. But again, another way to beat the dead zone, Nate, is just that upside of the unknown and rookies. Like, Breece Hall was a dead zone back. Kenneth Walker was a dead zone back that year. And Breece Hall obviously got hurt, but he was like running back 7 in a per game scoring basis.
Churning it out. It
Kenneth Walker went over 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. Yep. So like, Jonathan Brooks, the problem is he's coming in with the injury, because otherwise, number one, I think if he wasn't coming in with the injury, he'd probably be going, you know, in the 60s or 70s, still dead zone-ish. But just again, Panthers offense, injured running back. How do we feel about Jonathan Brooks here?
I mean, we kind of bookending the show too. Canales is going to run it. He already joked about that he was going to run it. I think this team is just hilarious with how they allocate their resources to that position. Just, you know, paying Miles Sanders. Okay. Then Hubbard ends up outplaying him last year, where they're just bench Sanders, the guy they paid. And they're like, okay, now let's draft a guy in the second round, an injured player as well. I like Brooks in the long term, but that's the thing. This is a different, he's more of a dart throw to me than a dead zone to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I would be more comfortable with him a few spots later, you know, not even that much later, but a few spots later. But I do get the upside, because you're betting on the second half that he, you know, starts taking over for Hubbard and all those types of things. Like the player, interesting situation. They invest in their guards. They're going to pound the rock. Like, there's going to be plenty of volume there. I'm sure they'll get screens in there. Brooks can take that, but just not where typically, I don't know where to slot that exactly, because of just what else they have on that offense.
The thing is, I totally understand like taking him over the first few backs of like Javonte Williams and Tony Pollard are the next like backs there. They're start of that like post dead zone group.
Yeah.
In my arbitrary little cutoff here. And like, I totally understand why he would be going ahead of those players because of that upside. Like, In the second half of the season, the whole typical rookie thing, like you know, the post by rookie bump, all of that stuff. I'm okay. Do you want to make him a finalist over David Montgomery? Or are we fine with our three finalists here? I'm gonna leave this up to you because you're the guest.
Oh no, that that is hard. I'm gonna keep David Montgomery on there because I think Brooks is perfectly slotted where he should be like right now. That's kind of just how I feel about him too. Yeah, that offense. That's another thing too. It's just it's uphill sledding there in Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, I just think that whole offense. The Bucks. You got to remember, it's like Canales did a lot with Baker Mayfield and kind of retreads, but some of those retreads are Tristan Wirfs, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. Like, you know, it's a little different than what Carolina's kind of trotting out there. You know, Jonathan Mingo. Adam Thielen, who actually did some nice things for me in fantasy last year, but Adam Thielen, but those types of guys, it's just a different kind of like,
yeah, Deontay Johnson, but like, yeah, it's
oh, Deontay Johnson, like Deontay, yes, Johnson, true, but he's not Mike Evans or Chris Godwin.
Right.
Exactly. So all these guys are just lesser versions of that. And so that's the thing is like, yeah, I think Canales is going to improve it. I think they invested in guards, which I thought was actually, even if they overpaid, it made sense to me why they did it, because they're helping Bryce Young out, all that things. But I think that's a boost from 32nd best offense to 24th.
Yeah. I mean,
not 32nd. And that's rich. Not 32nd to 12th, you know, so that's why I'm just a little trepidatious with anything with the Carolina.
It's so funny that you say that, because, yeah, the Panthers were 30th in success rate, offensive success rate last year. But the Bucks were only 27th, but they were 12th in EPA. So they were like, they were a very big play offense. And yeah, let me tell you what, if the damn Panthers are 12th in EPA per play on offense, you're going to be riding high if you're holding.
It makes sense in an offense with Baker and Mike Evans is going to be boom bust. It's going to be launch it up and let him make plays, which worked. It worked in that ecosystem. Again, it worked.
All right. So our three finalists, Nate, it's time to vote. And again, I'm going to make you go first because it's just the nice thing to do for the guests. You let them go first. Ramondre Stevenson, Zamir White, David Montgomery, rank them first, second, third in terms of who is most to least likely to be this year's Rashad White, king of the running back dead zone.
This actually, we made it tough on ourselves. I'm going with Stevenson as most likely. I just think of what that offense is going to be. I think it's not going to be great, but I think it's going to be better than people are expecting. And I just think all the little things of that offense, the coordinator, the offensive line coach with his background, the blocking receivers, the potential quarterbacks in that system, who I think is going to be either a steady hand or a big play merchant. I don't know. I that's why I'm going to go with Stevenson. Also, he has talent. I'm not betting on a guy just because of system here. That's the cutoff between him and Zamir White, who I don't think is as talented, but might have an even more conducive system just because of what he's shown before. So Stevenson for me is one. And I guess, see, the Montgomery for me is cheating, because then the only thing I can see Montgomery be in the top one is if someone gets hurt.
Right.
So I don't want to use the hurt tiebreaker. So I guess I'm going to go Zamir White 2 and then David Montgomery 3, just because I think David Montgomery, that situation is kind of set for me, where he's that 50-50 guy, while the other two I think can maybe become those 80-20 touch guys that can really outplay these rankings.
Well, good news. We agree. Number one pick for me is also Ramondre Stevenson out of this group. Sweet. I will put David Montgomery too.
Good poker face, by the way. He did not break at all. I checked just to see. I try to look a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Good poker face.
Yeah. Deadpan when we're talking about dead zone running backs. But yeah, look, Ramondre Stevenson is number one for me. I am okay cheating though and putting David Montgomery number two, just because okay. I think I can see paths to Zamir White outright failing, just like, oh, he gets on the field in the first Absolutely. 4 weeks and like it's just not there, whereas Dave Montgomery's not going to do that to you. But overall, I do think Zamir White, he's a good three here for me, just because I think he showed enough at the end of last year. The situation's right. It's not so much just like a, wow, this is a guy that's been mid his whole career, like a Mike Davis, and like we're just going to throw him in there just because we don't have anybody else. Right. Like, I think he's fine as a promising young player to bet on, similar to Rashad White. But the fact that, yeah, I agree with you, Stevenson is a more talented back. There were definitely times where, from a size, speed, pass catching standpoint, he's like a bit of a poor man's like David Johnson. And I loved David Johnson at his peak. So I can see them just
as
kind
a
of,
runner, that works perfectly. Yeah.
I could just see them building like that whole plane out of Stevenson. The extension and everything. So we agree. This year's king of the running back dead zone, this year's Rashad White, is Ramondre Stevenson. Nate, appreciate you for doing this, man. And I'm glad that we came to a consensus here. And man, my God, we talked, that was a ton of names and like not a lot of great names that we discussed on this pod. So I appreciate you doing it, buddy.
No, thanks for letting me get the juices flowing, even if some of them were in the dead zone of my brain as well. So I appreciate that. No, this was great. A lot of fun, as always.
And of course, make sure everyone checks out the piece that Nate's working on about the Houston Texans, which will certainly be more exciting with a lot more sex appeal than a discussion on the running back dead zone. So make sure you check that out. That is going to do it for us today. A quick programming note, the pod is going to go on vacation because I'm going to go on vacation next week for 4th of July. No shows that week. To all you sickos out there, fellow sickos, Nate and I, Cardinal sickos, we know you're sickos too. Enjoy this time with friends, family. I mean, for God's sakes, get outside, touch some grass, grill something, have a few adult beverages if that's your thing, because as we all know, post July 4th is when fantasy and football season starts, even though I just said I want it to be August. It's right around the corner. It's happening. And we're going to be back on Tuesday, July 9th, and we're going to start ramping some things up. Until then, we're out.